stick it in your ear.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. Coming up next, What's Going On? With me, your temporary host, King Downing. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? I'm back for a second hour, and I'm so happy to be here and see who's around at 8 o'clock. I mean, I think by 8 o'clock, my woke folks are awake. So I'm going to have a program for you that's going to continue what we were talking about earlier, and that's today's day of mourning. But in the background, tell me who is this singing What's Going On? I bet you never heard this one before. Why, it's Chaka Khan and the Funk Brothers. So tell me, who are the Funk Brothers? They're the unsung hero band of Motown. And they came together with Chaka Khan to do this live version, and I'm loving it. And so on today's program, we're going to be talking about the Day of Mourning, but I'll tell you more about that in a second. Why do hundreds of people stand out in the cold today instead of sitting home eating turkey and watching football? Every day this year for the past 50 years, a Native advocacy group organized the National Day of Mourning in Plymouth. Each year, hundreds of Native people and their supporters from all four directions show up in Plymouth to speak the truth about history, current issues, and the struggles we are involved in. That's going to be today at noon in Plymouth, but also it's going to be live here on WBAI, so stay with us. What we're going to be doing is talking about the day. We'll be taking your calls, and we're going to be listening to the presentations, musical and otherwise, from last year's celebration. But first, weather in transit. It is 64 degrees, cloudy. Actually, no, it's 40 degrees and cloudy. I wish it was 64. That was a few weeks ago. 1% chance of rain, a high of 54, low of 44 today. Sunrise, 6:54 a.m. Sunset, 4:31 p.m. For the morning, it'll be 44, mostly cloudy, no chance of rain. For the afternoon, 51, mostly cloudy, no chance of rain. For the evening, 46, cloudy, 20% chance of rain. A lot going on the transit front. All the lines are running on Sunday schedules. And there are also delays on the 7. The SIR is running on a Saturday schedule. No service on the B. No overnight service on the W, S, and Z. and plan service changes on the 3, 7, C, D, and F. And for the latest on your commute, if you're going anywhere today, and maybe you're going to Plymouth, go to mta.info. So let's get on with the program talking about the National Day of Mourning.
Scunnella hallway, going to Luna Glad. A whisk Negane yotta, wait on yotto. Go.
Welcome to What's Going On, if you're just tuning in. I'm your host, King Downing. I'm filling in for Felipe Luciano, who's on special assignment today. And we're going to be talking about this National Day of Mourning. We're going to continue the conversation that we had just held in the last hour during Good Morning Nueva York. And so our Taino brother, Felipe, will be back next week. So why are hundreds of people... Oh, let me tell you about the song. This is really special. It's important. This is The Peacemaker is Born by Joanne Shenandoah, a member of the Oneida Nation who just joined the ancestors. And we're sending our condolences out to her family and to the Oneida Nation. She was a Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, flute player, and all-around spirit. Please check out her music. The depth of feeling that she brings to it is just amazing, and we're going to be playing more of her music. So why are hundreds of people standing out in the cold later today instead of sitting at home eating turkey and watching football? Well, every year for 50-plus years since 1970, a Native advocacy group and its allies have organized the National Day of Mourning in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Every year, hundreds of Native people from all four directions and their supporters come together to speak the truth about the real history, about current issues and the struggles that all Native people and their allies are involved in. As I said, it's going to be at noon in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's also going to be available online, and we're going to be taking a listen to some of the sound from last year's event. We'll be listening to music and political and other presentations about the struggles that are going on today, and we're going to be taking your calls. So I'm going to announce now that probably at around in about 15 minutes or so, I usually announce the calls much closer to the time, but because we're going to be going to sound, I want to make sure that you know. So we're going to be taking the calls at about maybe, let's look at the clock here, maybe 7:20 or so. So just stand by. So we're going to be going to the first part of the online National Day of Mourning from last year. So let's take a listen.
Wenikisak, Natasuis, Melissa Ferretti, Nutomas, Sikwana Makwapakwet, Ka Natai Patuxet. What I said to you in my beloved language is, good day, my name is Melissa Ferretti. I am from the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe of Plymouth. I am the current chairwoman of the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe. I am a mother and grandmother raised by an elder of my tribe in Cedarville, a small village in the town of Plymouth, Massachusetts. I have lived on my homelands all my life. I am honored to be here today as part of the 50th annual tradition of the National Day of Mourning to share this virtual message. As we gather on these beautiful homelands, what is now called Plymouth, Massachusetts, and what is also the homelands of the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe, let's always remember our ancestors. In my tenure as tribal chairwoman, I have made it my life's work to better serve my community and educate the public about the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe and its rich, well-documented history in the town of Plymouth, born in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. As a tribe located at the ground zero of colonization in Plymouth, we know well that there is little knowledge of the actual history and contemporary existence of tribal communities in the region. There is a long history of erasing, ignoring, and trying to silence Native peoples in New England and the United States. This is part of the struggles that say that we don't exist or that we should have no voice in matters that directly affect our lives and our rights. As a tribe whose ancestral homelands, along with the forests, fish, and other wildlife in the region, was used by the Pilgrims to serve their interests as colonists, we know that we and our tribal history are directly connected to the ongoing struggles of many other natives in communities in North America. Struggles that include the theft of native homelands and the genocidal impacts of Indian policy. Quite often, native people feel invisible and dismissed. We are constantly having to validate our existence, explain who we are, and where we are from. Something that could be explained in a classroom if only Native American and Indigenous studies were a necessary part of the curriculum. The goals of the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe are to strengthen the awareness and study of the history, language, and pride of the Wampanoag Nation and to preserve, promote, and protect the common welfare, cultural, spiritual, and economic well-being of our tribal members, particularly our tribal youth. Our cultural heritage, our relationship to our sacred and ceremonial places within our ancient homeland, and our community-based values are the core of our Herring Pond Wampanoag tribal identity and heritage. We are committed to creating an equitable future for our youth and preparing them for a strong future as self-determining citizens of the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe. The Herring Pond Wampanoag Pondville Meeting House, built from an 1838 petition to the Commonwealth, the Pondville Meeting House has been the center of our existence since the late 19th century, and it still remains so today. Our beloved Pondville Meeting House, at the first powwow, then and now. Like countless tribal nations throughout the United States today, the Herring Pond Wampanoag still faces the destructive impacts of colonialism, the colonial project of erasing Native identities and silencing Native accounts of our own histories. And they suggest that colonization of Native peoples in this region was inevitable and necessary. But we have never been silent, and we continue to resist colonization and colonialism. And along with other tribal nations in the United States today, we are immensely proud of our history of resilience as a Native people who has retained our deep connection to our homeland. In loving memory of our elders and the ancestors who have crossed over, there are so many more that we would love to share, and they all know that we honor them every single day. Thank you.
Everybody, this is Skyler Williams from 1492 Land Back Lane. We are in southwestern Ontario, just south of Hamilton. And we've been holding it down here now for 127 days. We've came in here on July 19th this year and have been met with heavy police violence, shooting rubber bullets at our people, tasering our people, dragging our people off the land. On August 5th, when they came in and raided the camp, our people came out in a huge way that day. There was highways blocked, railways, and to make sure that we were able to get back on the land that we were fighting for. This development of 1,400 homes is going to be on the doorstep of our community. Everything that you can see from as far as the eye can see is going to be covered in concrete and asphalt in the name of progress. This is not for our people what progress looks like. Progress for our people looks like, you know, the deer having a place to run, the animals, the trees, everything that we hold dear in Mother Nature is something that we hold dear to us. We want to make sure that we're able to have those things for the next seven generations. Our people have fought long and hard, every inch, every mile of every reservation across all of Turtle Island has been paid for in the blood and tears of our people. Many people have died so that we could have the land that we live on today. And who am I to spit on the graves of those of our forefathers who fought, who died so that we could have these lands that we hold dear to us today. And so we want to make sure that whenever we are making the stands that we have to make sure that we're able to give to our next seven generations what was given to us. And so for the last 100 years, 200 years, we've seen every big city, every small town grow exponentially. The only places, the only cities, only towns, only communities that have gotten smaller are reserves. And so our community is one of those communities who's on 5% of what our reserve used to be. And so for us, that is unacceptable. And for the Canadian government here to continue to push and encroach on our lands, new legislation was just put into place to make sure that people were being encouraged to have these massive developments on unceded Haudenosaunee territory. And so when we make these, when we come and we make these stands, and we're able to stand together and amplify each other's voices the way that we are beginning to over the last few years, to lift each other up, to make sure that every single time our people make a stand, that we know that there's going to be people from everywhere coming to make sure that our voices are amplified in such a way. The governments of both Canada and the U.S. have did everything they possibly could with tribal and band councils to divide our people. These forced governments that were pushed on our people to divide us, to make sure that we had this community of haves and have-nots, so that we could have those arguments and those divisions go on into the future. For us, this is absolutely unacceptable. And we are saying now that I don't care about all of those, you know, centuries-old divisions. Because we got good reason to be mad. We got good reason to be mad at each other. We've had a long time to foster those resentments. Right now, if we don't come together, all of those arguments that we've had over who has the say over the lands is all going to be for nothing, because we don't have any land left. And so when we make that call out to each other in our communities to say, like, I'm done with all of those divisions now, because our grandkids, our great-great-grandkids aren't going to have anything left. Our people need to make those stands and make those stands together. Because that's one thing, I don't care which family or which tribal or band council you belong or whatever, everybody understands that these are our lands. These are our lands, and if we make those stands and we make them together, that there is nothing that we can't do to amplify those voices to such a degree that there is no house of government that can't hear them. When we make those stands and we make those stands together, there is no quieting that voice any longer. And so I'm asking everybody across all of Turtle Island to make this stand with us, and we'll make that stand with you. Because we need to make this stand together for now and forever. Thank you very much, guys.
And there you have part one of the National Day of Mourning from 2020 that was held online. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. The program is What's Going On. I'm filling in today for Felipe Luciano, who will be back next week. And we are having a commemoration of the National Day of Mourning. And we're going to open up the phone lines, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. What does this day mean to you? Are you dealing with the contradiction of having time off for your hard work, coming together with family and breaking bread, and then reconciling it with the history of this date and how it came to be, originally declared by the governor of Massachusetts after a massacre of women, children, and elders in a native village in Massachusetts after the warriors had been lured away on a pretext? So how do you work these two things out in your own mind, and what do you do? The lines are open for that and anything else you want to talk about. 212-209-2877. Our WBAI What's Going On listener line is brought to you by the members of WBAI, people just like you and maybe you, who have made pledges of as little as $25 to become a member of this station, have some say in how it's run, and to also provide much needed support. For larger donations, you can make by going to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, or by making pledges to 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Larger gifts can get you great gifts in return. Music, health products, books, films, all sorts of things. You can go to the website and check out what's available as a gift for your pledge. Our WBAI What's Going On listener line is also brought to you by our WBAI buddies, sustainers who have made a pledge to have as little as $10 a month automatically transferred from their accounts to the station's accounts to bring in income that can be counted on month after month. There are some specials that are going on right now for our sustainers and WBAI buddies, so go to give2wbai.org and check them out. Meanwhile, the phone lines are open, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877, for any questions or comments that you might have. And if we don't hear from you, we're going to open up the phone lines again in the second half of the program, where we will be listening to part two of last year's National Day of Mourning. And I want to also let you know that this is part of a pretty full day of coverage in honor of this day. Starting at 12 noon, we will be broadcasting live from Plymouth Rock. We will be carrying the celebration or the commemoration right from there, and you'll be hearing the native speakers and cultural performers all there. There'll be a statement read from political prisoner Leonard Peltier and much, much more. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to be going to some messages now, and then we will be back for the second half of the program, so don't go anywhere.
Gonna the hallway, going to learn a glass, a whisk glass. They gonna yoda, wait on your door. Go.
This is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Oh. on and doggy dogly, lay a doll hole in my ass, long without cold and room, what cold won't be long. Without cold and warm, what cold won't be long goes. On and doggy to nothing, day or dawn, why I long without gold and all, what gold won't be low, long ways.
Welcome back to What's Going On. If you're just joining us, I'm your host, King Downing, filling in today for Felipe Luciano, who's on special assignment. We'll be here until 8 o'clock. And you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. In the background, Tado Daho, Snakes in His Hair, and that's by Joanne Shenandoah. She was a member of the Oneida Wolf Clan, and she joined the ancestors on November 22nd. She was a huge figure in the world of Native music, a Grammy Award winner, singer-songwriter, played flute, 15 albums. Please check out her music. Very inspiring, as you can hear here in the background. So we're going to continue with our commemoration of the National Day of Mourning. Why do hundreds of people stand out in the cold instead of sitting at home today eating turkey and watching football? Every time this year, on this day, this Thursday, for the past 50-plus years since 1970, Native advocacy groups have organized the National Day of Mourning in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Every year, hundreds of Native people and their supporters from all four directions come together to speak the truth about their history, about their current challenges and the struggles that they're involved in. That's going to be today at noon at Plymouth, Massachusetts, but it's also going to be here at 12 noon live on WBAI, so you can tune in and you can be part of it. In the meantime, we're going to be playing some of the sound from last year's event, but I think, I'm sorry, our sound clip ran over a little bit, and so I may have left a caller hanging, so I'm going to see if that caller is still on the air. Maybe we'll just start right out with a caller, and then we'll get to the clip, and then we'll take some more calls after that. So if we have a caller on the air, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your question or comment?
Hi there. Brief comment, brief question. Thank you, first of all, for introducing me to Joanne Shenandoah.
She's something else, isn't she?
She is fantastic. You don't know, it has such a calming and soothing, her voice, very unique, very unique. So I will be searching and seeing if she's on CD or whatever I need to get her music.
Great.
My question, this day, I'm thinking of Leonard Peltier. If you could, if you can give us any type of info, bring us up and how he's doing. I know he's in prison, has been in there, I don't know, I believe it's over 40-some-odd years, for just if you can give us info on that, that is on him.
Sure, and just tell me what your interest is.
What my interest is?
Yeah. What brought this to mind for you?
Number one, I'll say this. I know that I do not celebrate Thanksgiving in the manner in which it was established or the cause on which it was established for. I'm different in that sense. I acknowledge and recognize my brothers and my cousins. From history, I know that there are totem poles in Africa, but they won't tell you that. I know that the indigenous people here traveled to Africa, and Africans traveled back here. They won't tell you that. I do know that Plymouth Rock, landing in Plymouth, the Mayflower, no. We've been here for 5,600 years plus. So my cousins, my brothers, I feel for them. There is a gentleman by the name of Harry Jensen. He played with the Soul Three and the Skull Snaps, and he played for Johnny Youngblood. I was invited to the Shinnecock Nation here on Long Island, and I entered a house that he and his brother built, and I don't mean just a little shack. They built it, just two. The accomplishment that they have made and are making and have given to, quote, America.
Okay. I'm going to give folks a little bit of an update on Peltier, but I'm glad you asked about him. And so thanks for calling in. I want to make sure we have time to get to the second half of our sound from last year's event. But Leonard just celebrated a birthday on September 12th. And of course, he was a member of the American Indian Movement and was convicted in a controversial trial of aiding and abetting murder. Has been imprisoned since 1977, so I was very correct about the number of years. He got two consecutive life terms, and his support committee has been fighting for the longest time. I don't have any additional updates, but I know that there will be, as there have been in the past, statements from him at the National Day of Mourning, so I'd advise folks to tune in because his support committee will be making a statement then. And I did go to the National Day of Mourning at Plymouth one time, and he was actually able to call in, which was something, because I had never heard him speak live before. So another reason to stay tuned until 12 noon so that you can get the latest on his case and a lot of other issues that Native people are facing. So we're going to turn to part two now of our sound from last year's National Day of Mourning at Plymouth. It was held online, and I will be telling you the lineup of folks. And in the meanwhile, this is going to go about 15 minutes, so at about the halfway point or so, you can start to call in if you have any questions or comments. So let's take a listen to part two.
We are from the Voyage of the Sunrise, which was established in the 70s, but it grew last year when our first monument was put up. And with the help of the women of the tribe, we had decided to do a bigger thing with the Warriors of the Sunrise. And right now we are on the highway to get New York State to drop the lawsuit against our monument. And we are having an encampment called Sovereignty Camp 2020. And we are working very hard to get New York State to drop this frivolous lawsuit against our nation.
I'm Rebecca Junior from the Shinnecock Indian Nation, Warriors of the Sunrise and Braves Protection Warrior Society. This is Keshanaquat, my great-granddaughter. And we, again, are seeking justice for 380 years of maltreatment and demoralization. Indigenous people of Long Island have been taken advantage of for far too long. The town of Southampton apparently doesn't take us too seriously, or the state of New York doesn't either. So it's time to take a stand and make that stand for justice and for Indigenous people of Long Island and for our Mother Earth, who is being destroyed by the overdevelopment crisis in the town of Southampton. They're destroying our sacred waterways, which is called the Shinnecock Canal. And our bays and our oceans and streams and everything are being destroyed by greed and profit. And these billionaires that live on stolen land and build their mansions on stolen land of the indigenous people. All of this we are seeking justice for. And I thank you for your time and your attention. And we're here for you too.
My name is Tila Troj. I'm a member of the Shinnecock Warriors of the Sunrise, and I'm so honored that we were invited to participate in the 50th anniversary of the National Day of Mourning. Just last month, I was able to visit Coles Hill and visit the monument to the National Day of Mourning. And just being there and seeing all the other monuments that were put up by the settlers to try to tell their version of events. I mean, they're just everywhere, right? The Founding Fathers Monument and the Plymouth Rock Monument, and all of their other myths, monuments to those falsehoods. It just made me think about our Shinnecock Monument. And our monument, it's absolutely beautiful. It's 61 feet tall. And right now, unfortunately, it's half built. So I think of all the other monuments, and it's just not acceptable that something so beautiful and a testament to the continued existence of Shinnecock people would just be in this unfinished state. And it really speaks to the need for solidarity of all people to come together and support the fight against injustice anytime that they see it. And so we're so, again, proud and honored to stand with you on the recognition of the 50th day of the National Day of Mourning. Thank you.
There is an ongoing epidemic of violence against Indigenous women in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and elsewhere. In the U.S., at least 84% of Native women have experienced violence. While the government and police often say that this is due to the violence of Native men, in fact, it is non-Natives who commit the vast majority of this violence. Native American women are murdered at a rate of 10 times the national average. The rates in urban areas where many Native people live are also disproportionately high. This violence against Indigenous women and girls has deep roots in the invasion and colonization of Indigenous homelands and in white supremacy, marginalization, and poverty. Many Indigenous women are unable to access services needed to escape violence, such as culturally appropriate emergency shelters. Acts of violence against Indigenous women and girls may be motivated by racism or may be carried out in the expectation that society's indifference to the welfare and safety of these women will allow the perpetrators to escape justice. Some of you may have heard of an issue that Indigenous communities have been raising throughout North America, which is that of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirits. That issue was named in Canada more than a dozen years ago. However, it's been the reality for Indigenous women throughout this hemisphere since the European invaders first arrived. Indigenous women and families have been trying to increase awareness of this issue by many means, ranging from campus awareness days to testifying at government hearings to bringing information about this issue to women's marches. Across Canada and the U.S., Indigenous women can often be seen marching wearing red shawls or scarves to honor missing and murdered Indigenous women, sometimes holding red dresses aloft. When talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women, it can be difficult to come up with enough statistics, since Indigenous people are often not counted or are undercounted. It's hard to give exact figures for the magnitude of the problem because there were no centralized databases in the U.S. or Canada. Even when figures are available, they may not include Indigenous Two-Spirit people, but the numbers run into the several thousands at the least. In Canada, First Nations, Métis, and Inuit women are 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing than other women. Indigenous women there believe there are likely over 7,000 missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada, but do not have an exact number. We do know that Indigenous women there are 4.3% of the population, but at least 16% of those murdered. In Manitoba, they are half of the murdered women. The police often fail to investigate adequately, and many believe that the police themselves are sometimes the culprits. Many Indigenous youth in cities such as Winnipeg are at particular risk for violence because of the conditions of being removed from their families and stuck into a dangerous and broken foster care system. In the 1990s, it became clear that Mexican women in this Ciudad Juarez and El Paso area were being murdered in large numbers, many of them teens. The authorities did not care. Femicide, the killing of women, is a huge issue throughout what is now called Latin America and is all too common against Indigenous women who are trying to protect their lands and water. The violence that Indigenous women experience knows no borders. Violence against Indigenous women is rampant at so-called man camps that pop up to house the short-term workers in areas where there is intense resource extraction activity, such as at oil pipeline sites, fracking, mining, etc. As a result, the number of sexual assault, domestic violence, and sex trafficking incidents in North Dakota tripled since 2008 because of all the man camps that sprang up there along the Bakken Formation. The ongoing crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirits is also interrelated with the violence being enacted right now against migrant families, many of them Indigenous, coming from Honduras, Mexico, and other countries. Women and Two-Spirits are especially endangered. Some of the reforms that have been proposed and enacted will certainly help, but they will not entirely solve the crisis. That is because violence against women and Two-Spirit people is a hallmark feature of colonialism in the Americas, started by Christopher Columbus and his men. This violence is a mechanism of domination and oppression. It is intended to terrorize, disrupt, and demoralize Indigenous populations.
Compañeras, compañeros, les saludamos desde nuestras tierras ancestrales.
The never-ending genocidal bloodshed against our ancestral peoples cries with thirst for justice.
Thank you for the many years that you welcome us to be part of National Day of Mourning, but not this 2020. Please know that our spokesperson has transitioned in this struggle. Thank you for sharing the ceremony with you all in the beautiful ancestral Wampanoag homeland. For hundreds of years, we have been standing up fighting the colonizers. demanding justice, always standing up. As this day arrives, we continue to fight the racism, looting, and impunity that prevails against our peoples. We continue to hear the sounds of the bullets and murderous aggression. We still hear the empty, oppressive words of the Christian groups. We hear the sounds of the trains, airplanes dropping bombs and toxic chemicals. And we still stand up, fighting the hurricanes, earthquakes of the modern civilized colonizers. Our sisters and brothers taking refuge in the jungle, the mountains, in the cities, and fleeing to other countries to save their lives. Still, the dew of the night accompanies us looking for our missing relatives. We do not forget, we do not kneel, we are standing up against corrupt governments that insist with their ethnic cleansing and robbing us, the indigenous peoples, of our ancestral territories. Natural resources destroying our sacred way of life and sacred sites. Our spilled blood will not be forgotten. It nourishes Mother Earth. But the ignorant colonizers don't see that we are seeds. Today, our hearts are strengthened. Our sadness is transformed into indignation, struggle, and resistance for our sovereignty. Our cry for justice will be heard in every corner of the world. The only crime our massacred and disappeared sisters and brothers was and is to defend our ancestral territories, to have the sustenance to nourish our peoples and create our own history. Our voices and fight continue to take more steps. That is why today we give our words to you here, and we will continue fighting, demanding justice. And as long as one person is dead, no one stays alive. Let us all die, even slowly, until we destroy this racist and unjust colonizing system. No one will come to rescue us. We only have us. Self-organization. In the jungle, the mountains, the cities, communities, in schools, at work.
From the ancestral Maya territories, Consejo de Ancianos, los pueblos unidos jamás serán vencidos.
El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido.
Kue inna delusi gugugas vokus ahwigi Mi'kma'ki. My colonial name is Madonna Bernard, and I live here in Mi'kmaq territory. People wanted to know what was going on down in Saulnéville, Nova Scotia, with all the fishing disputes and our treaty rights and stuff like that. When I was down there, it was totally disgusting what the commercial fishermen were doing to our people and what DFO and government were not doing. And the cops were not stopping any of the commercial fishermen from doing what they were doing. It was totally disgusting what you've seen when you would see the cops down there, and they were pretty much siding with the commercial fishermen. The DFO hauling up our traps, our fishermen traps. I can only speak from me personally, from when I was down there. I do not speak on behalf of our nation. It's scary what's happening, because this is all unceded, unsurrendered territory of the Mi'kmaq. And not once have we ceded our territory. Now, it's all unceded territory. It's disgusting what's happening to basically our children's futures. And the government has to be accountable for this. Canada is nothing but a corporation. Canada is a corporation, and I will not stop saying that. Our treaty rights are law. Our treaty rights are our law. We follow our laws. We don't follow Canadian laws. And I'm scared for future generations.
The second part of our presentation for the National Day of Mourning, and the coverage is going to continue at 12 noon. We will be covering it live from Plymouth Rock, and so stay tuned to get more on that. Thanks to all of the people who spoke, thanks to our callers, and stay tuned now for Democracy Now! I also want to say special thanks to Sean Rhodes as one person filling in to another person filling in. So it's been What's Going On WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, available on demand at WBAI.org. I've been your host, King Downing, filling in for Felipe Luciano. And please consider being a donor to the station. Become a member for as little as $25 a month, or become a WBAI buddy for as little as $10 a month. Go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, and join the family. Have a great day, and I will see you on Thursday.
Good morning. You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York. What's Going On with King Downing, filling in for Felipe Luciano, came to you live over listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York. Now, coming up at 8 o'clock is Democracy Now!, so please stay tuned. November 8, 2021 is the notice date to propose Pacifica Bylaws Amendments. The proposed amendments may be found on the Foundation's website at www.pacifica.org for review. Votes by the Pacifica National Board and the various local station boards regarding said amendments will occur thereafter.
WBAI accepts snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
We're in a unique moment here. It's a moment where we have a chance to actually demonstrate our power.
Imhotep Gary Bird heard on WBAI Friday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m.
I learned from Dr. Walter Fauntroy, who fought with Dr. King in the Civil Rights Movement, that there were five areas that they identified that they felt politics could control and hit. It was health, housing, education, economics, and social justice. The fact is, WBAI is a nexus for the progressive community to make those changes in all of those areas, and has been decade after decade. I say to you again, whose station?
Our station.
Whose control?
Our control.
Long live WBAI.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
Wash your hands, everybody, and everybody. Wash your hands. My people love town. Wash your hands.
your hands. My people downtown, wash your hands. People from the East Coast, wash your hands. People from the West Coast, wash your hands.
That's right. First and foremost, please listen close. Take your time, wash. Use a lot of soap from the front to the back. Back to the front. Sing the hook where you at. That's exactly what we want. You catch a little fever. Shortness of breath. Slight little cough. You feel it in your chest. You should call your doctor. Doctor know what's best. Don't go running to the hospital because you could be a threat. Coronavirus.